Psalm 115, we're going to read the entire chapter responsively, verses 1 through 18. Wonderful, wonderful chapter. And I trust that you'll be encouraged tonight by the things that God has to say. You know, not everybody can serve the Lord in visible ministry. Not everybody preaches or sings or plays the piano or is an Awana commander or even a deacon. But everybody can do exactly what God says needs to be done to please Him. And so I want you to listen very carefully tonight. Psalm 115, let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of God's Word. Verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." Father, thank you for this great truth, this great text you've given us. I pray now, God, as we focus our hearts on your word, that we will be encouraged and enlightened by what truly pleases you, by that thing that all of us, both small and great, can do, that you have commanded. Help us to hear it and then heed it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. I want you to look again now, please. At verse 13 of our text, it should be a familiar text to many of you. We find a wonderful promise in the Word of God. Notice verse 13. It says, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." Let me say this. On a surface level, there are basically two kinds of people throughout the world in every area of life. Number one, there are those who are small. And number two, there are those who are great. And it is true tonight, beloved, that whether it's at school or at your office, whether it's at the ball game or in a courtroom or in a hospital room or at the plant, the factory, wherever you go, there is both the small and there's the great. There is the CEO and there's the maid. There's the surgeon and there's the nurse's aide. There's the pitcher and there's the bat boy. There's the judge and the bailiff, the teacher, the student. There is the captain and there is the private. There's the millionaire and the servant. There is the landlord and there's the tenant. So that again, in every area of life and all through this world, you know this, there are and have always been what man classifies as the small and the great. And you'll notice that even among those who fear the Lord, even amongst our group, if you will, those who have trusted Christ, it says there are both small and great. The text says he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In other words, it matters not this evening, beloved, to God, what your bank account is. It matters not what your talents are, your God-given talents. It matters not what your position is, what your title is, what your influence, or your name. Jesus said, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination with God." And to God, it really matters not tonight whether you are great or whether you are small. What matters to him is simply if you fear the Lord. Why? Because great or small, anybody can fear the Lord. Anybody can do those things in the text that are highly esteemed by God. Many years ago, I preached a sermon from Luke 16, where the Lord Jesus, you remember, was derided. The word derided means mocked and ridiculed. He was derided by the Pharisees because he was small on the world scale. He was small in the eyes of man. You see, here was a man, they said, that was a man of little means. He had no money. He carried no money. He had no houses, no home. He was what we would call a homeless. He had no lands. And for another thing, he was walking around teaching without an accredited degree. Now, if you see somebody out in the street that has no home, no money, no property, and he's going down from street corner, teaching, and you say, where do you go to school? And he says, I didn't go to school anywhere. What would you think of him? You would think, here is a man who is small in the eyes of the world. And so the Pharisee said, on what authority do you teach these things? Can you imagine ridiculing the creator of the universe for being poor? Say, how do you know it was that? Because the very next verse says, this they said because they were covetous, because he had no money. Can you imagine ridiculing the creator who spoke everything in his existence for being poor and deriding the omniscient God because he didn't graduate from a human institution? It was an amazing display of ignorance and pride, but I've got to tell you the truth of the matter is that all of us as humans are prone, and all of us as Christians are tempted to esteem others and even ourselves by the same pathetic standards as the world. If somebody's wealthy, extremely wealthy, and they walk in those doors, or if somebody is talented or famous or powerful, we tend to respect those people more than the obscure, the poor, the unlearned. But again, beloved, the text is clear. In fact, the context of this text is very clear. Whether great or small, none of these things, none of them can be impressive to God. How could $1 billion in the hands of a dying man impress the eternal God who rules the universe? How could a PhD on the wall in the hands of someone that God calls a fool, because they don't believe in God, how can their brilliance be impressive to him who is omniscient, to him who knows all? God is not impressed. You know, when I was in Little League one summer, I remember we were getting ready for the football season, and it was the first day of practice, and it was my third year in that particular program, and I remember it appeared we had a new coach on the scene. And so I thought that I would impress him. So I pulled a football out of the bag, and I started throwing some passes. And they were these, you know, sort of wobbly, wounded ducks that kids throw, and that's what it was, about 20 yards. And I kept looking at him, you know, does he see me throwing these passes? And then he picked up a football, and he threw a perfect spiral about 65 yards. And the coach said, boys, we have a special guest with us. He was the quarterback for the Houston Oilers. Needless to say, I didn't throw any more passes that day. And needless to say, he was not impressed with my 15, 20-yard wobbly pass. But you know what? You think about this, the way man is with God. How foolish man must appear when he flexes his financial muscles, when he flexes his mental or physical muscles before omnipotence. It's like an ant sitting at the bottom of a Marine's boot threatening to pinch it. Beloved, it doesn't matter to God whether you're great or small. It really doesn't. And in fact, if there's any preference at all, instead of great and small, the text says small and great. But I want you to notice this. Because it is true that there are some things. Money's not it. Position's not it. Stature's not it. Title is not it. Education's not it. But there are some things that are highly valued by God and that get God's attention. So that whether you are great or whether you are small in the eyes of the world, these are the things that those who fear God can do and be blessed by God for doing. In other words, these are the things that are considered valuable in heaven. You know, I think one of the hardest things that Christians find and one of the most important things that Christians must do is to start measuring things by God's scale.
what is really important. For example, the text, the chapter tells us that both small and great, doesn't matter, can be blessed by God because both of them can trust God. Now don't miss this. Look at verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now watch this. In verse 9, O Israel, trust the Lord. In verse 10, O house of Aaron, those are the priests, trust the Lord. But then in verse 11, he says, ye that fear the Lord, anybody, Gentiles, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to be of the house of Israel. You certainly don't have to be of the house of Aaron, a priest, anybody, not just Israel, not just the priests, not just ministers, but Gentiles and anybody in this room, anybody who fears the Lord, you can and are commanded to trust God. Now, let me tell you something. You may not have as much money as a person sitting next to you. You may not be as well known as others. You may not be as great in the eyes of most of the world as anybody else. But I've got to tell you something. What you can do, and something God values extremely highly, in fact, more than anything, you yourself can trust in God no matter what. In other words, you can look to God. Not your money, not your education, not your friends, not your stature. You can look to God and Him alone as the source of your wisdom, your strength, your help. Say, well, Pastor, I have to trust the Lord. I never know where my next paycheck's coming from. Can I tell you something, brother or sister? The richest guy in Jupiter better trust the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, he doesn't know for sure if he'll be around tomorrow to spend his next paycheck. See, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that just because you're poor, or just because you're poor doesn't mean that you can't trust the Lord, or that you do trust the Lord. And just because you're rich doesn't mean that you can't trust the Lord or don't need to trust. I told the young people in Sunday school this morning, I said, young people, we live in a society where people who call themselves Christians, they've got the title down pat. They call themselves children of God, and increasingly in America, they are putting their trust in anything and in everything except for Jesus Christ. They trust in horoscopes. I would shudder to see the hands of Christians in this room, if you were honest, if you raised your hand, who read the horoscope in the morning. I know some of our young people do. I know that for a fact. Trusting in demons, really. I said to the young people, there are two spiritual worlds. There is God, and there is the other side, Satan. If you're not trusting in God, but you're trusting in something else, there's no other choice. It's demonic. And so we have Christians who trust in horoscopes. They trust in rabbit's feet. Superstitious Christians. I told the teenagers about when I was a youth director in Knoxville. I opened an umbrella inside of our church. It was raining outside. And a lady in our church said, oh, Brother Jim, don't do that. It's bad luck. So I chased her around the church. I went, phoom, 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 phoom. You know, Christians are bad about trusting in repetitious chants. People call themselves Christians, trust in plastic statues, the dashboards of their cars. They trust in the government. I was reading today in Sunday's paper an article about how to sell your home. It is a serious article written by two people. It's in today's Palm Beach Post. You have a home for sale? Here you go. Jen, listen to this. Some of you have your homes for sale. Listen carefully. Use feng shui to bring harmony and balance to your home if you want to sell it. Now listen carefully. Have you ever walked into a home that was for sale and although you realized it looked beautiful, you felt uncomfortable? More than likely, this home was not staged according to the principles of feng shui. The Chinese philosophy of feng shui helps you to create a positive energy flow in your home's design and decoration. It creates harmonious environment. So when staging your property, the goal of feng shui will be to connect the spirit of your home with the head of your home. Here are examples of how feng shui will stage your home. Determine the location, direction, and placement for the flow of energy throughout the home. I know where that's at. That's in the fuse box and all that. identify any electromagnetic fields that may interfere in a child's bedroom or family gathering area. How are you going to identify electromagnetic fields? We got bunches of them coming out of Ben's room constantly. Create a sensory stimuli interpretation in the home. I mean, it goes on. I'm just scratching the surface. And they're not joking. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. That is Eastern mysticism baloney. Junk. That 50 years ago would have been laughed at in this country. But Americans are trusting in anything and everything. And the sad thing is, Christians are swallowing it by the truckload. Why don't you just pray for God to sell your home? And if you don't sell your home, trust God that He knows what's best. What happened to that? For every minute that you spend reading a horoscope, you could have been on your knees praying to God, the true source of omnipotence and omniscience. If you're saved, it doesn't matter to God how much education you have. You need God's wisdom. If you're saved, it doesn't matter to God what your title is at the office. You are commanded and you have the ability to completely trust in your God. In God's economy, beloved, everybody, small and great, can and must put their trust in Him. Quite some time ago, someone said to me, Pastor, you know, you've been pastoring now all these years. You must be a lot more confident. And you know what I said? And this is the absolute truth. I said, you know something? I have a whole lot less confidence in myself than I ever did before. But I have a whole lot more confidence in God than I ever did before. And you know something, beloved? I may never be known as eloquent, famous, or a brilliant preacher. I'm sure I won't. But you know what? I can trust God as much as any preacher. I can trust God as much as Spurgeon did. I can trust God as much as Moody did. And so can you. Anybody, small or great, can do what God highly values. Anybody can trust the Lord. You know what James said? He said, yea, hath God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. God esteems riches according to the measure of your faith. Remember, it was to a poor, despised Syrophoenician Gentile that Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. But it was also to a respected, powerful Roman centurion that he said, I have not found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, great or small, you can and you must trust in God. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. You know why? Because anybody can trust God. And anybody in this room can, and you ought to be trusting God, depending on Him. That's number one. The second thing I want you to notice is that God blesses small and great because anybody can praise the Lord. We sang a few moments ago about the dead not praising God. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Look at verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord. You know, David said there's only one kind of mouth that cannot give praise to God, and that is the mouth that is silent in death. Hey, Pastor, I'm a nobody. Maybe so. But God loves the praises of nobodies. He does. God inhabits the praises of the nobodies. Pastor, you don't understand. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm unemployed. God loves the praises of the unemployed. In AD 53, the Roman Empire was in its zenith of glory. Caesar ruled, edicts were passed, great literature was being written, Western culture was being formed. They ruled the world. History was being made. But you know what God was listening to at the zenith of the Roman Empire? Not the eloquence of the halls of the Roman Senate. God had his ear bent down toward a little prison and two prisoners that were singing praises at midnight. And if they're like most Christians and preachers, they were singing off key. But God loves the praises of the lowly. God said, I like that so much, that singing, I'll just bring the house down. You know the story, the prison was shaken. Do you realize, and it's recorded in history, a great earthquake occurred in AD 53 because two insignificant, beaten, dying prisoners were singing praises to God. David said, God inhabits the praises of his name. And beloved, I don't care who you are. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how low you are or how high you are commanded and you are enabled to praise your God. Small and great.
Robert E. Lee sang praises to God. He was a fine Christian gentleman. But you know, the Negro slaves in the South, unjustly treated, they sang praises, some of the most beautiful songs of praise to God. And I'm going to tell you something, God heard both of them. God inhabits the praise of his name. He will bless them that fear the Lord, small and great. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You know, the Bible says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down the grave, but we will bless the Lord. Now that's a decision. That is a determination in a man's heart. I am going to give praises to my God. My God is worthy. Now, so the question is, are you praising God with your mouth? Because you can. You don't have to. Look, boy, I wish I could sing solos. I wish I could play the piano. I wish I could preach. I wish I could be in charge of this. Can I tell you something? You can praise God. That's what God commands you to do. That's what God's waiting for you to do. Are you singing to God the voice of praise? Or is your mouth a mouth of scorn? Gossip, criticism. Why don't you say tonight, small or great? Verse 18, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Anybody can trust him. Anybody can praise him. Finally, I want you to notice God blesses small and great because anybody can serve him. Now don't miss this. Look at chapter 116 and verse 16. He says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Hear me carefully. Did you know that God is not looking at how great or small your talents, your skills, and your abilities are tonight to serve him? Do you know God's not concerned whether or not you can feed a multitude? All he wants you to do is give your lunch. Just like that little lad, he just wants to give what you have. And God will do the miracles. They sang a moment ago, and it was perfect for this. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it. Everybody in this room can win it. The littlest child in this room can win it. If you'll do it in Jesus' name. Jesus said, the least among you, the servant of all, shall be the greatest of all. You may not be able to lead. You may not be able to build. You may not be able to pay. You may not be able to control, but anybody in this room can serve. Anybody. I remember when VBS a few years ago, I saw a little boy after VBS. He did it every day, all week long. And every day after VBS, he'd walk around and pick up paper. You know, God took note of that. I know I did. Anybody can serve God. You know, isn't it just like God to leave the greatest and most valuable spiritual assets in the universe within the reach of the smallest child? Isn't it just like God to leave those things that he highly esteems within the grasp of everybody? Everybody can't sing. I can try. You want me to let it rip? I don't think so. Desmond can sing. Everybody can't. Everybody can't. Is not called to pastor. Everybody can't write out a check for $50,000 and say, here, pastor, buy yourself a new Mercedes. But some of you can. But you know what? Even a little child can trust. Even a little child can praise. And even a little child can serve. And those are the three things that God esteems above everything in the universe from mankind. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Beloved, hear me. It's high time that we as Christians throw out the value system of this world. It is. It's high time that we start judging ourselves when we look in the mirror by talent and by money and by position. And it's high time we stop judging people that walk in those doors by the same, what Jesus said was an abomination. It's high time that we value what God values. He values faith. He values praise. He values service, the servant. Why don't you and I decide tonight that once again we will focus our hearts and our minds and our energies on these things? And then we will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed for just a moment. You know, the thing about the Christian life is that it is so simple. And we try to make it so difficult. And normally we do so because we look across the way at others instead of up to what God wants from us. It's so simple. God wants you to trust Him tomorrow morning when you go to work. Not astrology. Not your own wisdom, not your own strength. God wants you to praise Him all day long tomorrow. Just praise Him for what He's done, even in the midst of trials. God wants you to serve Him as He gives you opportunity. That's it. Beloved, that's it. You trust Him, you praise Him, you serve Him, and you do exactly what God has called you to do. And you can do what the greatest preachers, the greatest Christians who've ever lived did themselves. Pastor, I'm here tonight and I'm saved. I'm born again. On my way to heaven, God deserves my praise. He deserves my trust. He deserves my service. But God has spoken to my heart tonight. I've been reminded that, you know, God's not really looking for the same things that the world out there, the corporations are looking for and Fifth Avenue is looking for. God is looking for your heart. Pastor, I'm saved, but I needed the message tonight and be encouraged to serve Him, to praise Him, to trust Him. God has spoken to me. Would you pray for me? How many Christians would say that? Would you slip your hand up right where you are? All through the room. God bless you. Many, many hands. The Christian life is so simple. You walk out those doors tonight singing in your heart praises to God. You trust Him to get you through tomorrow and this week. You serve Him whenever you have the opportunity. You've got it. That's it. Pastor, I'm here tonight. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know that I'd be in heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? We would love to pray for you tonight. I won't embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. Not sure about your salvation. Hold your hand up right where you are. Anyone? All right. We're going to pray in just a moment, and when we do, I encourage you to take a few moments to praise God in your heart. Take a few moments to remind yourself to trust Him, to serve Him. The smallest child can do it. The deacon in this room can do it. The little bus kid can do it. The Sunday school teacher can do it. And we must. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for these who have asked for prayer, Lord. And I pray, God, that please, we as Christians would get back to basics. We as Christians would get back to Your word and to Your will. And in a world, Father, where Christians are falling headlong after the world's value system, let us highly esteem, not what men highly esteem, but what You esteem, God, faith of a heart, serving You, whatever that service means, even if it's unseen. And Father, You know that there are folks in this room that have been serving You, and nobody's patted them on the back, and nobody's taken notice. Encourage them, Father, that You've taken notice. Encourage us all, Father, to praise You because You're worthy of it forever. Help us to do as the psalmist said, I will, from this time forth, praise You forever and ever. Help us to determine that. Bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?